It's the Paul Harris Show on the Big 550 KTRS. Thanks so much for listening, for following me on Twitter at Paul Harris Show and on Facebook, and emailing comments to paul@harrisonline.com. Just a few weeks ago, 60 Minutes did a story about Tamer El-Nouri. Tamer El-Nouri is the name that an FBI agent used while he infiltrated some jihadists in this country who were planning some very, very bad things. He had been doing this for quite a number of years. And now his story is told in a book called American Radical, Inside the World of an Undercover Muslim FBI Agent. Now, I couldn't get Tamer El-Nouri to come on the show today because he is back undercover and using a different name now. But I was able to get his co-author, Kevin Maurer, to join me here today to talk about Tamer's story. Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Good. One of the key themes in this book is, as an undercover guy, how Tamer had to gain the trust of everybody he was trying to infiltrate. I'm curious, as an author, how do you gain the trust of a guy who's so good at doing that?
That's a good question. You know, it's funny. We hit it off almost right from the beginning because we both sort of saw the book the same way. I think it helped that I had already written No Easy Day with Mark Owen from the SEAL team that got Bin Laden. So I think I had a little bit of it kind of eased my way into winning over some trust. But it really came down to I told him exactly what I thought of the story. I told him exactly what I thought was the best way to tell it. And like any good team, I think we just fell into what we do best. And he trusted me enough to let me help him tell the story.
Tamer El-Nouri was a pseudonym he used undercover, right?
That's correct. Yep.
But he's not still using that name.
No, that name can't be used anymore after the trial in Canada.
Because it would have exposed him to too much danger?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, in the court pleadings during the trial in Canada, they used the name Tamer El-Nouri. It was FBI agent Tamer El-Nouri. So he can't use that name now because, I mean, it's been in the press, and now it's on the front of a book. So he's pretty much done now.
Gotcha.
That name.
Okay, so it was a pseudonym, and he was a real FBI agent. But who decided on the details of what Tamer El-Nouri, the fake character's personality would be, or what clothing he would wear, what background he would relate? Is that all something he makes up?
I mean, he makes it up in conjunction with the case agents, with Nelly. So the case agents bring the case to him, and they say, we need an undercover to help us infiltrate this Al-Qaeda plot. So they, using the intelligence that they're able to gather about their targets, Tamer was able to build a legend that he thought would be attractive to these terrorists. And the legend that he settled on was Tamer El-Nouri, which, you know, the cover story was pretty simple. Tamer El-Nouri had radical leanings. He had access to the United States, and he had access to large amounts of money. And that made him very attractive to Shahab Essaghir, because Shahab was a poor student. He had the contact with Al-Qaeda, but he didn't have the financial means to actually execute the attack.
Mm-hmm. What exactly was the attack? Explain that for my audience.
Sure. The attack really centers on a train that runs between New York City and Toronto. And what Al-Qaeda had tasked Shahab with was to recruit a cell and then derail a train around right at Christmas time. Killing the passengers on board.
Wasn't there also a part where after he did that, he was also going to launch some sort of attack in Times Square?
That comes later. Once Tamer infiltrates the Al-Qaeda plot, Shahab gets a little more bold. And when Tamer brings Shahab to New York, he walks him through Times Square. And Shahab isn't impressed with Times Square. He's just appalled by it and appalled by the West, and he decides that it's a good place for a terrorist attack, and that's where he starts to plot what he calls Operation Happy New Year, which was a multi-faceted bomb attack using parked cars.
Was he planning to do it on New Year's Eve, or was this just going to be a random, like a Tuesday night?
It was a New Year's Eve planned attack, so the idea was to set off one car bomb, and then as the crowd funnels to try to escape, set up car bombs in their path.
Okay. The FBI agent who took on this name, Tamer El-Nouri, actually is Muslim, correct?
That's right. He was born in Egypt, came over here when he was a child. He and his family are still, his father and his sister and his mother were all Muslim, yeah.
Is he outraged at what Al-Qaeda and ISIS have done to his religion?
Oh, I think he's appalled. I really think one of the things I think you take away from reading American Radical is how appalled he is about what's happened to his religion and how he had an opportunity because of this case and because it was all declassified to maybe stand up as an opposition and as a different voice and to sort of change the narrative of the way that they've sort of hijacked Islam.
Yeah. What did the jihadists who Tamer encountered have in common?
Well, I mean, the commonality is a hatred for the West, for what they perceive as people who are oppressing them. But you'd be surprised if you as you read the book. I think you also understand that they hate each other as much as they hate anybody else. So Shahab was really he was anti anybody who wasn't Muslim, including Muslims he didn't think were devout enough. And then some of the other accomplices, Riyad Jasser, he was a Palestinian, so most of his hatred was directed towards Israel. And in you know, because of Israel, because the U.S. is an ally with Israel, the United States. And then Ahmed Abbasi is the guy who comes in late, and he's the one that radicalized Shahab. And Abbasi just dislikes the West. He was more of a in the line with Osama bin Laden, and he saw the United States as sort of the great Satan.
But I'm curious about this, and I've asked this on the air many, many times during our post 9/11 world, and that is, do these guys think they're actually changing things for the better, for their side, for their cause? Because whether it's, you know, the 9/11 attacks or the bombs in Madrid or London or anywhere else in the world, yes, you do have the ability to kill a number of innocent people. But in the end, what have you achieved?
That's a tough question. I mean, I think some of that stems from what happened in the Arab Spring, but you know that also didn't pan out as well as some had hoped.
Yeah.
With the spread of democracy. So I think terrorism really comes from it's a socioeconomic problem. I think some of it is this idea that they're oppressed a lot of times by their own governments, and the way that they want to react is to lash out and try to destroy those governments, to destroy the system that they believe is oppressing them. The thing is that they become so radicalized, and they find so much strength in what they think Islam is, that I think they do think they're doing something, because as long as they're fighting for their warped idea of Islam, they're achieving their goal. And I think that's where you look at some of the guys that radicalize these kids, and they prey upon these men and sort of feed them this radicalized version of Islam. That's really the crux of the argument. I don't know if they actually think they're doing anything, but they've fed enough of this ideal to the foot soldiers. There's a joke among soldiers now, and I'll leave you with this, that you never see an old suicide bomber. It's always young people.
Mm-hmm. Are they lost boys?
I think a lot of it is. I think Shahab is most certainly lost. I think he was a stranger in a strange land searching for something familiar, and I think that's what led him to Abbasi, who was able to radicalize him. I would say Lost Boys is probably a good label for him.
Okay, so again, and I'm trying to understand this, and I'm going to get back to Tamer's story in just a second, but because Tamer is kind of our conduit to learning about these guys, and you've written about them and heard all these stories, do they just hate the American government, or do they hate you and me?
I think they hate the government. From what I took away from when I was working on the book, from the surveillance tapes and from listening to Shahab and Abbasi and Jasser talk a lot about what they thought, it really stems from the American government. There's a chapter in the book where Shahab lays out the reasoning on why he's allowed to, under Islam, kill and murder innocent people. And a lot of it stems from the idea that the U.S. government oppresses them, and by extension, the citizens of the U.S. government, because we pay taxes, are viable targets. And that's where you get a good sense of just how warped and how they take Islam and sort of mold it to what they need it to be in order to justify this idea that doesn't have anything to do with Islam.
How chilling is that for you to listen to?
It was. I mean, it's incredibly chilling. I think it's very strange. You know, unlike some of the other books I've done, I really had a luxury of either reading transcripts or interview notes or listening to the actual audio of them talking. And it's chilling. It's chilling to hear a person. You truly get that he believes this idea of Islam. He truly believes that by killing people that, you know, he's going to be rewarded for it. And it's chilling.
I'm Paul Harris, talking with Kevin Moore, who's the co-author with Tamer El-Nouri of American Radical, Inside the World of an Undercover Muslim FBI Agent. When you're undercover, as deep undercover as he was, is it hard to keep up the front? I mean, you got to get exhausted, and every once in a while, you got to catch yourself. Oh, don't say that!
I think he's a very good actor. I think he's well trained. Something he's told me a couple times is that, you know, it's tiresome to play someone you hate hanging out with people you despise.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah. So I think it is. I think it's hard, but I think because of the situation and because of how tense it is, and because of sort of the pressure that he's under, I don't think he ever slips up that much. But I do think that it, you know, I think it drains him for sure.
He actually went to acting classes, didn't he?
He did. Part of his training was with an acting coach out in L.A., and that's where they got the idea. Of point of radicalization, of coming up with a backstory, a motivation for the kind of person you're playing, in order to really be able to sell it to the jihadis.
Was that the death of his mother?
Well, that, he used the actual death of his mother, yes, and he just was able to twist it enough where he could tap into that real emotion without having to make up something that would justify.
So here he is sharing something from his actual life, but he's got to turn it a little bit so it's not his actual life. It's got to be Tamer El-Nouri's actual life. And I would think that when you're deceiving people in that way with stories that hit so close to the bone, I mean, my goodness, the emotional feeling of talking about your dead mom has got to just rack you every moment you're talking about it. That really shows what kind of a pro this guy was to be able to do that.
He was, and you learn later in the book that his emotions and the way that he told that story saved him in Shahab's eyes, because in Shahab's eyes it proved that he wasn't an undercover federal agent. He was truly a jihadi because of that kind of emotion. And I do recall when he first told me the story, he got emotional as well. And I told him when I first heard it that the hero of this book is really his mother, because it's his mother who teaches him really what Islam is about. And it's his mother who gives him the strength and the cover in order to actually do the work he's doing now.
How did the FBI choose him?
Well, they chose him actually by accident. He was working as a narcotics officer undercover in New Jersey, and he stumbled upon the FBI undercover coordinator while they were both getting their new undercover IDs. Driver's license made, and it was sort of fortuitous that they were both in the same spot.
Wow. And the fact that he spoke Arabic probably helped?
It did. I think the FBI had their eye on him early on in his career, but he wanted to be a police officer first. He wanted to get some time on the street, and I think that actually helped him in the end, when he got into the FBI.
Absolutely. I probably am not allowed to ask you this question, but I will anyway. How many other FBI agents are doing what Tamer did?
There's not as many as you think, unfortunately, but I think there are a lot of them. And I think, I know for a fact, guys like Nelly in the Joint Terrorism Task Force and the FBI undercover program are actively working every day. I think every day you've got someone doing something.
Yeah, and these are the stories we never would hear if you hadn't put them in this book.
Right. I mean, we were lucky in that the case was declassified because it went to trial. Because a lot of times, you see the press release where the FBI guy pleads guilty because, I think one of the misconceptions is the FBI is entrapping these guys. But in order for you to sit down with an undercover FBI agent, you're pretty far along. Like, they just don't randomly pick guys. So they're very effective in that they, most of the time when we see these cases, the guy pleads guilty because there's no choice, really.
During the time that he was undercover and dealing with this guy who was planning on killing random people on board a train and then blowing up Times Square on New Year's Eve, was Tamer's life ever truly in danger?
I think there's always some danger. Truly in danger, I don't think so, really, because they were pretty much, his team was keeping good tabs on him. Going into the basement, he goes into a basement at one point to have dinner with some of the guys in the cell. That could have gotten pretty hairy, so there was some danger really there. But for the most part, I think he's got it. He's pretty good at keeping it either in public or, you know, not getting himself into a situation where he can't escape. So I think for the most part, he's safe. But, you know, it's still life. Like, things could always go sideways. But for the most part, I think he was pretty safe.
What was the link that got Chaheb to trust Tamer?
I think it was, it was the link that got, I think it would have to be when they go to dinner in San Jose, and Chaheb is excited because he thinks he has a like-minded brother who mm-hmm. has access and money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Tamer gives him the story about his mother with you know, a few facts changed in order to sort of inflame Shaheb's radical mindset. And that, I think, is when they win him over. But then again, that dinner has also sort of, when you're talking about danger in your last question, I mean, that has some danger in it because of the dancer and some of the other things in the restaurant had some danger to derailing the operation.
Yeah, that's actually a scary scene. But I'll tell you my favorite scene in the book, and by scene, you know, I'm talking in cinematic terms because this better become a movie. Have you sold the rights yet?
We have not. We have some people that are interested. I'd like to see it as a movie, too. I think it would make a really good one.
Me, too. My favorite scene is the very first time he just happens to be in the same place as Chaheb. But Chaheb thinks it's just a happy accident that there's this guy on board the plane who is talking to him and speaks Arabic and seems, like he's sympathetic to the problem that they're both having, getting their seats next to each other on board the plane. But what Chaheb doesn't know is the FBI made that coincidence happen, didn't they?
I don't think we're allowed to say for sure, but it was a happy accident. I think is the best way to put it. But yes, that's great. The bump there where they set it up so that Chaheb and Tamer are on the same plane.
Did the FBI have to approve your book, Kevin?
They did. They reviewed every page of it. They gave us some edits back that they were concerned about that maybe would jeopardize national security. But luckily, for the most part, the book kind of sailed through. I think we made three or four small edits, but mostly it was approved otherwise.
I'm very impressed with this guy. Are you?
I like him quite a bit. I joke with him often that he's Brown James Bond, which we joke about.
It's a terrific read. The book is called American Radical, Inside the World of an Undercover Muslim FBI Agent, written by this gentleman right here, Kevin Moore, along with that undercover FBI agent, Tamer El-Nouri. Kevin, thanks so much for the book and taking time to share the story with me today.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.